Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 1st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 95, the fourth paragraph, If He Thinks He Can Do the Job in Some Other Way. We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Lorraine N., who will be reading the 12 steps, Terry H. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Lois P., Karen W., and Eileen M. Our newcomer greeter for today is Lois P., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, and thank you for your service, and I apologize again for being late on the line this morning. I'm Lorraine N., a compulsive overeater in Oregon. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power, greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine N. And Terry H., would you read the 12 traditions for us, please?
Yes, thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. A grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or an outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever unprofessional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service today, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 95, the fourth paragraph that begins with, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way. We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only this morning. And good morning, Lois P., if you would get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. If he thinks he can do the job in another way or prefers some other spiritual approach, encourage him to do his own conscience, to follow his own conscience. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have an approach that worked with us. But point out that we alcoholics have much in common and that you would like, in any case, to be friendly. Let it go at that. The idea of respect is very important for me as a sponsee and a sponsor. And I think each person has a readiness within them to change their lives, to connect with God. And many people already have a spiritual connection or a religious connection. And that is something that, as a potential sponsor, I want to honor. However, as a sponsee, I know that very often I think that my way is the better way when it comes to pretty much everything. So to me, it is also, when I look at a potential sponsee, their willingness to just listen and perhaps be open to other perspectives in general is an indicator, I think, of how desperate that person and ready, how ready they might be. And I know that that's the way I was as a potential sponsee. I was still trying to do things my own way. So the bottom line for me is always to honor the other person, respect wherever they're at, respect their wishes, their perspectives on God, the way they're, you know, if they're following a particular religious tradition. That's the key approach for me. And at the same time, letting them know that there is another way, other than perhaps the way they've been doing it, not religiously or spiritually, but just there is another way to find a connection to God, and that as a potential sponsor, I'd like to share that with them. So it's a mutual, kind of a mutual admiration society where I'm open and respectful to the other person as a potential sponsor. And as a sponsee myself, I have to be aware when I'm feeling I need to do things my own way or I think I know what's right. I'm always now open to to other people's opinions, especially my sponsor. So it's a delicate dance here. We don't want to tread on people, and yet, on the other hand, we want to offer them a firm hand of guidance, and if they're ready, they will hopefully take it. So thank you, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lois P., for getting us started this morning. Okay, although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you didn't share on Thursday or Friday and you'd like to share this morning, I'm ready for your name. Or on page 95, the fourth paragraph, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Betsy H.
Betsy H. All right.
Kathy S.
Deborah G.
S. Deborah G. Okay, stop with those four. Eileen M., Betsy H., Kathy S., and Deborah G. Go ahead, please, Eileen. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Eileen M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And the way I see this is I have no control over how another person chooses to find a higher power. I believe part of my job, you know, as a guide is to help them find what works for them, and it's about their journey. And part of being of service, like on Bill says on page 90, that we don't force ourselves on anyone. You know, I think it's helpful. I think it's really helpful and important to leave the door open so that, like, if someone were to change their mind, I've actually had this happen. I had someone who, you know, wanted to just, you know, she said she was just going to go back to church. And I thought, yeah, okay, well, you know, I just told her that, if she changed her mind, that I would be there. And I just offered to be helpful, basically. And, because some people will try, they'll try a different way. And I just think it's important to, make ourselves available, whatever their choice is. And that's, for me, that's what it means to be supportive of someone else. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. And Betsy H., go ahead, please. You're followed by Kathy S.
Hi, Betsy H., recovered in California. Yeah, this is very interesting because I tend to be such a black and white thinker that I think that I love the 12-step programs, and it's an approach that has worked for me, like it says here, that it should work for everyone and they should just do what I am doing. But then the more I get experience with things, I find that different people do things different ways, and different things maybe work for different people, and not everyone may be ready to do a 12-step program right now, or they may not need it, or they may not want it. And or maybe sometimes when I talk to someone, I'm planting a seed, but that seed is not going to sprout until later. It can take some time. And that's up to that person and their higher power. It's not to me. So I love this paragraph because it's so easygoing. It's just like, okay, if someone doesn't want to do the 12-step program, they want to try something else. That's fine. It's between them and their higher power. I really don't know what they need to be doing at this point in time. I'm just here to be helpful. And it kind of takes the pressure off me. I'm just here to be helpful, really it's higher power who gives the power for the recovery. I'm just here just to be of service. And then, the paragraph ends with, we can be friends with the person. We could be friendly. So I love that. That's like a very nice example that they're giving here in this paragraph. And I haven't always followed this in the past, but I'll just keep on trying, and I think I'll keep coming back. I pass.
Thank you, Betsy H. in California. And Kathy S., you're up, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And yeah, just beautiful shares so far and in the 7 a.m. meeting that, but this, it does take the pressure off that I have had this. What I love is that, you know, when I first got to step 12, I was so scared about sponsoring. And even in this chapter, there are so many clear-cut instructions. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to write a manual on this. But the truth is, all I have to do is share my own experience. And I actually end up doing exactly as this book instructs, because I share with potential sponsees or just newcomers, you know, that I had to try all kinds of other ways. I did Bible studies. I tried this program on my own. I did certain factions of OA, and I did other fellowships, you know, thinking that maybe it was abstinence and restricting, and I should try moderation. And I share this experience, and when I get, you know, anybody who's especially on the fence, or like someone shared, they have kind of their ideas of how they need to work this, I totally encourage them to do it, because there's nothing more maddening than being outside of the timing of someone's willingness and their open-mindedness to just be ready, and God's timing that they are ready. And that was my own experience too. And until the food just beat me down enough, and I was just like, whatever. And I came in I was willing to put down even everything that I thought about God. I had did the set aside prayer, because what I was doing wasn't working for me. So I needed a new experience. And when I got to that, that's exactly what God gave me. And I'm so grateful. And I believe it's an individual path, and God shows up for people in different ways. And it's beautiful to just offer that opportunity to let people have that experience. And then I have had that where they call me back and want to talk some more about experience, about how did I know for sure that I belonged here. And, you know, for me, again, I didn't have a big weight loss issue, so it made it confusing to me. But that's not a requirement for this fellowship. It's about compulsive overeating and having this physical allergy and mental obsession. And I'm, again, grateful to share that. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. in Georgia. And before we take you, Deborah, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 95, the fourth and last paragraph, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way. And I'll be ready for some names after Deborah. So go ahead, please, Deborah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater from Arizona. Thank you for your service chairing the meeting, and everyone that's made this meeting possible, and all the shares. Yes, yes, yes. I need to be reminded, because sometimes I can fall into the self, and I don't want to go in working with somebody with the self. I want to be open. And my sponsor reminds me that all I need to do is meet them where they're at. And the freedom that's in that with me and with them, you know, is that freedom so they can explore and discover what works for them. I can share my experience and the things that I've done, even traveling different places, doing different rituals and practices, and, you know, a seeker. I was talking to someone, they said, oh, you're a seeker. And, you know, I think that's what it is, you know, is that seeking. And every time I go through the steps, it changes. You know, I have that transformation. And every time they go through the steps, they have that transformation and a deeper relationship. And I learn so much from others with their experiences and what's happening. And it's just a beautiful thing to do. Hold hands as we walk along and do this. And, you know, just just that free flow and let that. I love that set aside prayer too, and I love how inviting that loving power, that loving presence into the work that we do, so that that person can have their own experience. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful to be part of doing that. And thank you so much. And Deb.
Thank you, Deborah G. in Arizona. Okay, if you have not shared Thursday or Friday and you'd like to share on this last paragraph, page 95, that begins with, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way, I am ready for your name.
Terry W.
Linda B. Terry or Terry?
Terry W.
Okay, thanks, Carrie. And Linda B.
Karen W.
Karen W.
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S.
Lisa F.
Lisa F. Okay, we'll stop there. So I have Carrie W., Linda B., Karen W., Aaliyah S., and Linda S. So go ahead, please, Carrie W.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Dawn, for your service. I'm Terry W., and I'm a recovered anorexic bulimic from Boston. And so this is one of the three ifs. If he's not interested, if he's sincerely interested, and if he thinks he can do the job. So, you know, I was told these are three ifs, and, you know, I think it's also important, you know, he talks about to lay out the kit of spiritual tools and then let them inspect them on their own. I know I have tried numerous ways for me to stop my compulsive overeating, and none of them worked for me. And when I first went to OA, you know, it was proposed to me, but it was pushed on me. And, you know, as they say here, you don't want to push it on someone. But for me, it was pushed on me because at the time I was so sick and so anorexic. You know, people like, you have to do this. You have to go here. You have to do OA. And I didn't because I was pushed. So I love that they're talking about, you know what, just lay it out at their feet. You know, tell them your experience. And hopefully, you know, it's a program of attraction. And, you know, also, too, I think it's important. I think every compulsive eater, you know, not everyone has an allergy. And, you know, as the doc's opinion tells us, Dr. Silkworth, you know, we have an allergy and a mental obsession, a mental twist. And not everybody has the exact same, you know, allergy as I do. So I also have to be cognizant of, you know, this works for me because this is my experience and this is how it has worked for me. And hopefully it can work for you too. I mean, I never knew there was other bulimics out there or anorexics for years and years. So once I heard that, you know, the appeal of OA really, really, you know, made me interested. And that's when I got into the program and started really being serious about it. So I just want to put out there that, you know, to let people know what the program is about, tell them our experience, and then let it go with that. And thank you for letting me share. And, you know, thank you for this gift. And that I can say today I have an allergy and a mental obsession, and that's hard for a lot of people. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Terry W. in Massachusetts. And Linda B., you're up, followed by Karen W. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you. I'm Linda B. from Ontario, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm currently not sponsoring. I'm still relatively new to Vision for You, and but not new to OA. The phrase, encourage him to follow his own conscience. That resonated with me this morning. I think because I needed that, I needed encouragement to recognize my conscience and what it was maybe intuitively trying to tell me. And I didn't have enough confidence to trust that. I wanted to have what other people had. I wanted them to tell me exactly what I needed to believe in. And then I would wonder, well, why can't I connect with this higher power? Why isn't this working for me? because I really needed to be still and go within and find the spiritual approach that would work for this human being. And there's so many ways that that can happen. I appreciate my sponsor, who is very kind and listens and suggests and allows my own spiritual approach to unfold, and it's freeing. And I too, like, being so not having that confidence and wanting it in black and white, I wanted it, you know, like the 12 steps. I wanted, you know, 5 steps to a higher power. And I realized these 12 steps, you know, you have that experience or that spiritual awakening when you complete the steps. And, you know, it's so hard to get that right at the beginning. So then knowing that it's a process working these steps to reach that point, you know, it's good to point out, as it says later on in the paragraph, to point out that we have much in common. We have more in common than what you could ever believe. And in any case, to be friendly and let it go at that. And I really do believe the God of my understanding speaks through others. So maybe when the day comes that I am able to be a sponsor, that the God of my understanding will speak through me. I know the God of my understanding will speak through me and be able to, I leave it up to God. God will speak to me, and the person listening will hear what they need to hear. And maybe it's not coming from me. Maybe it needs to come from someone else. But I'm just going to let it go at that. And thank you for the opportunity to share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Linda B. in Canada. And Karen W., you're up, followed by Aaliyah S. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive eater from Long Island, New York. And when I look at this paragraph, I see a couple of different parts of my experience with it. One of them is I met my sponsor at face-to-face meetings a couple of years ago, and I loved what she shared all the time at meetings. And so I think she had told me about vision, and I started listening to the meetings. And then I asked her to be my sponsor, and then she told me what was going to be entailed, the work I was going to have to do. And I thought, no, I'm not doing all that. So thanks so much. I'll see you at the meeting on Friday. Then I was ready. And I said, okay, let me go back to her. And I asked her again. Now she wasn't available. Well, finally the third time worked, and we started working together. And so I can look at that it took me a few tries before I was ready to surrender to the process and to the program and to do the work and to follow direction. Now I have a really good friend who knows I'm in OA, and after we had a gathering one time, you know, she was asking me about it, and we had a really long, extensive conversation, and I shared a lot with her about my program and about my recovery, and I had an extra big book, and I gave it to her, and I gave her all the information about A Vision for You, and that was several months ago. And I do see her. We talk a lot, but there's not one word about if she's doing anything about it. And you know what? I didn't do anything right about it right away either. So she has the information, and the door is open. I do share about what's going on in my life, and the same thing with my daughter, who I believe ought to be in could benefit from a 12-step program. I can just share with her, you know, my recovery and the things that I'm doing that are working for me. And what I think is really important is the last couple of lines that said, in any case, be friendly and let it go at that. So I'm not going to slam the door and say, well, if you don't want what I'm offering you right now, then, you know, go off and have a nice life and good luck to you. So as long as we stay open and friendly, and as I said, you know, to continue to share what my recovery is like and what's happening to me. And I have no power to make anybody do anything. I had no power to make myself do anything either. So I think it was all my higher power. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you all for your service.
Thank you, Linda W. in New York. And Aaliyah S., good morning. You're up, followed by Lisa S.
Good morning. This is Aaliyah in California, Aaliyah S. as in Sam. I'm a returning member. I've been in relapse for a year, and I could really relate to this paragraph. When it says, we merely have an approach that worked for us, I was thinking, what is that approach? And the approach that I see is that has worked for my sponsor and many others is that they put the food down entirely and then work the steps to access power. And so I was asked to lay aside prejudice and be willing to believe. I was asked to examine any old concepts of God that didn't work for me. You know, but I thought I could do the job some other way. I thought I could up my service and my other programs, my other 12-step programs. I thought I could just go to more meetings, seek other spiritual books. I thought I could work the steps in another program without being entirely abstinent. But I was still playing God. And I can't approach God if I think I am God. So I had to be humbled. And I got humbled through circumstance, and this disease is progressive. It brought me to my knees. And I was finally willing to go to any lengths. You know, food was my God. So I couldn't approach God. So I finally surrendered to this notion of being entirely abstinent and that food is no longer an option. I was unwilling to meet with a nutritionist for like the seventh time. You know, I would just say, oh, yeah, I have a nutritionist. I have a food plan. I'd pick any food plan that I'd gotten with, you know, within the last 2 years. But I had to be entirely rigorously honest and text her and have a current food plan. And I had to be really honest about what those alcoholic ingredients were and be willing to put them down entirely. So I was asked to be rigorously honest in all aspects of my life, and I was being held accountable by not changing any food because I really had to concede to my innermost self that I have lost the power of choice. When it comes to food, my brain is broken. And I surrendered to that idea 28 days ago, and somehow, miraculously, God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I gained access to that power in the second step by having this beautiful experience with coming to believe. And I can honestly say I haven't had any food thoughts. Yesterday was a breeze for me, praise God. I can't explain it. It wasn't any of my making. And I'm just so grateful that I was willing to follow directions. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Aaliyah S. in California. And Lisa, before we take you, just a reminder on page 95, the last paragraph, if he thinks he can do the job in some other way. And I'll be able to take some more names after Lisa. So go ahead, please, Lisa.
Hi, this is Lisa F. from St. Petersburg, Florida. And really glad to be on the meeting this morning. I've been away for 10 days. I just came back from Peru. And it was an amazing, incredible experience. And the best part about it was I stayed abstinent and I was close to God the entire trip. And as I was sharing with my sister this morning, you know, it's just this program has given me the ability to actually see the promises come true and live in the promises. And it's just such a gift. So for me, when I think about this paragraph, you know, working with others, all I can really do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and just share, you know, how the program is working for me, you know, what I was like, what, you know, how I had to give up a lot of things that I thought I knew. I had to do things that I didn't want to do, that things that my sponsor asked me to do. But as a result of following directions, I have the recovery, I have the promises, excuse me, so I don't have to evangelize. I don't have to tell anybody what they should do. Excuse me. And the biggest thing is I have to just have compassion for where they are and just meet them where they are. I think the best way to be of service is to just be a loving, kind presence and to let them know that I'm not judging them, that I relate to what they're going through. But it's really their journey, and it's up to them to choose what they'd like to do. I just know for me, when I worked a half-assed program, I had half-assed recovery. I had no peace or serenity. I was still thinking about the food all the time. I was trying to get away with things. And I was still having problems with relationships. And I didn't have any serenity in my life. But now that I've worked the program the way it's laid out in these steps and worked through steps with a vision sponsor and have been entirely abstinent, guess what? The promises are coming true. And that's all I have to share with somebody else. But in the meantime, I can be loving and kind. And I'm just grateful that I was able to surrender, because with full surrender comes all of the gifts of this program. And the problem really has been removed. And for that, I am eternally grateful. So thank you all for being here. I've missed the meetings while I was away. I wasn't able to get online. I'm glad to be back. And I hope everybody has a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa F. in Florida. Okay, who else would like to share on page 95, the fourth paragraph, if you have not shared on Thursday or Friday?
No. Noel H.
Joe M.
Noel.
Wendy M.
Joe M. Who was that? Wendy M. that came in after Joe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Georgie.
Okay, we'll stop right there. Okay, so I have Noel H., Joe M., Wendy M., and George E. Go ahead, Noel.
Hi, it's Noel E. from Louisiana. Grateful, compulsive, grateful, recovery, compulsive over here. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way, I mean, that is exactly what my higher power wanted me to hear this morning. There's just no other way, you know? I'm so grateful to be here at 37 with my higher power showing me this truth, because while it feels like a long life of not knowing anything, it also feels like there's a lot of life left that I have to know anything and to know more. And the best part of that is none of that matters. It's just today. There's no other way except for being recovered today. And like Aaliyah said when she shared, I can't approach God if I think I am God. And that self-will, especially for me, a young mother of three, around this time of year, doing so many, you know, mom things, like executing Halloween yesterday. And it feels like there is so much that I can do. There's so much that I have to do. And that's exactly what my disease wants me to think, you know, is that I have the power. And the truth is that I don't. There is no other way. And the best part of all of this is no one is telling me what my higher power is or isn't. You know, we have no monopoly on God, which is the most beautiful thing. Because the God of my indoctrination that was wagging his finger at me saying, you're not enough, you know, evaporates instantly when I just remember my higher power loves me because of who I am. Not, no matter what, you know, not, in spite of who I am, because of who I am. I was made in every way because of my loving higher power who'd had me be exactly what I am. So, I'm so grateful for to be able to talk to you all and, hear the ways you're recovering as well, because it's lovely to not be alone and be held by my higher power. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Noel E. in Louisiana. And good morning, Joe. You're up, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning. Hi, thank you for your service. My name is Joe M., compulsive overeater in Minnesota. If he thinks he can do the job in some other way, I've had experiences, a couple that I remember at work. where people were talking about doing the job in some other way. And in one case, a woman was talking about how she was participating in one of those paid weight loss programs. And she was, you could tell she had a bounce on her step and she was losing weight. She had this like happy look on her face. And then there was another time where I was, it was a Friday, and another colleague and I were just talking about, oh, what are you doing this weekend? What are you doing this weekend? And one of the things that she was going to do that weekend was she's, I'm meeting with my nutritionist, and she had this happy look on her face. And those are moments where I know this is not the time for me to say anything about Overeaters Anonymous, because when someone is happy and confident in the method that they are trying, they're not approachable because they already found something that at least for now is satisfying some need that they have. And nobody is, I don't think, in my experience, available to the message of recovery that we have unless they are in a place of desperation, sadness, angst, despair. That's when they're approachable. So I don't want to ruin a future opportunity that I may have with them by coming in prematurely when they already are on a road to, with a different approach. And I also don't want to drain my recovery energy by approaching someone who isn't approachable. So I wait to listen for those other things where someone is like down and out and unhappy with what's going on with them, with either their weight or their food. Then there is an open door for me to have the conversation. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe M. in Minnesota. And Wendy M., you're up, followed by Georgie. Star one to unmute, Wendy.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm unmuted now. Thank you so much for your service. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Oh, boy. So I just, the first thing I need to say is when I came into this program, I was a black and white thinker. There's one answer and one answer only. And I wanted my sponsor to just give me the answer because it made more sense to control my environment if I had one answer. And so reading this at first, I'm like wincing, like, ugh, of course I have a monopoly on God because it's easier that way. I remember I'd go into, when I started Vision about 6-7 years ago, I'd go into these meetings, oh my God, and all I talked about was the big book and Vision, and I really did believe it was the only way out. And that's how I lived my life, even before this whole program, because you know, that was going to secure me. That was going to give me a sense of security that I had the answer. And it turns out I don't have the answer. But I have to admit that when I'm working with a sponsee, you know, and they say, well, you know, I'm reading this and I really think this other way is going to work. You know, inside of me, I'm like, oh, no, you know, how am I going to control this situation? And then what I'm reminded by my sponsor is that I have no power, my sponsee has no power, and thank God I don't have to figure this out. And I love what people are saying. It's a relief. It's freedom. You mean I don't have to go into the ring and pretend to have the answer? No, I don't. You know, I don't have to do that. I've got freedom here because I've got I don't and no. I don't know. My favorite thing to say, I don't know. God knows. God knows. And this isn't just, you know, with sponsees, working with sponsees. This is with everybody in my life, right? Like, I don't know. And it looks like something else might be working for you. But the relief that we get when we can say, I don't know, and I have no power. You know, my sponsor says to me when we start working, before I start, you know, I meet my sponsee and we're about to work on a passage or something. She says, yeah, I start with prayer because the sponsee has no power. I've got no power, but God has power. And we need to we need to pull that in so that we can do the work, so that we can hear what God wants us to hear about how to recover in this program. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. And George E., go ahead, please.
This is George E., recovering compulsive eater in Ohio. This paragraph reminds me that I have no power. You know, the things I might say to a newcomer are not, they're probably not what they want to hear. But that's okay, because God didn't say, look, George, you're supposed to talk to this person today. I mean, it's sort of like random, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people in a way I don't relate to, but that's okay. You know, God loves me anyway. You know, I came through another 12-step program, and, you know, one of the things they say in there is John Barleycorn was our best advocate. Well, we don't say in here Domino Sugar was our best advocate, or, you know, we don't do that. And I think that's the hardest thing to communicate. You're free to discover your own alcoholic foods. Well, you know, that's a process that I'm not sure that gets communicated very well. You know, the process of doing that, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't understand this program at all, but, you know, I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be absent this morning. Yeah, I'm sitting outside a, you know, place they're going to take my blood this morning, and I guess I'm really frightened what the result is going to be, because isn't that what's really going on in this program? I mean, people come in here, and they're looking for a result, and I can't tell you what your result's going to be, and you can't really tell me what mine's going to be either. You know, you can tell me what you've done to work this program effectively, and that's all I really have to share with somebody. You know, the hardest kind of newcomer I have to deal with, frankly, is the religious zealot. You know, and it does say elsewhere in the book, well, maybe they want to know why it isn't working for them, and I'm not even sure I can explain that. So when this paragraph is read, I was thinking more and more about, it's around 17, and it says, we talked about matters, you know, physical, spiritual, mental, you know, with an open mind. I mean, isn't that really what the paragraph is preaching, you know, having an open mind? I'm going to pass with that. Thanks for having this meeting, and thanks for helping me be absent today.
And thank you, Georgie, in Ohio. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Really great shares, great meeting. Thank you so much for all your service this morning. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Karen W., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure. Good morning, Karen W., recovered compulsive eater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.